Father in heaven, we praise you for all that you've given us so far this morning. We praise you, Holy Spirit, that you illuminate the word that is about to be read and preached. We praise you, Holy Spirit, for your very presence in our lives. We praise you, Jesus, our reigning King, for coming and for the promise that you will return. Between now and that moment, or between now and when you call some of us home, would you continue to show us the power of your presence, and the power of your word, and the power of your promises, Lord, that are so good for us, for you give us everything that we need to encounter whatever it is we are in the midst of. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. During this Advent season, we're tracing the light of Christ. We're looking at the theme of light and darkness from the beginning of the Bible in Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation, taking pictures of these various snapshots of light that are very powerful. We started last Sunday, and this morning we're coming to a passage in the book of Exodus, chapter 13, where the people of Israel, God's very own people, have been set free. And now the Lord is revealing to them how he is going to lead them. And it's not in a way that they would expect. And we will discover over time through the written and living word of God that it's not what they ultimately wanted at times. But it's powerful, not just for them, but also for us today. I'm going to begin in Exodus 13 and read through verse 22. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, "Lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here." And they moved on from Succoth and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Last Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, I shared with you how we all, whether we even want to admit it or not, are afraid of the dark. We're afraid of what we can't see, and there are many things we can't see. We're afraid of what we think we see, and we're afraid of what we actually do see. I use the term trace and defined it this way, that to trace something is to copy it. Children understand that. It's a picture or the alphabet. You put a transparent piece of paper over it, you trace it. Tracing also means to investigate, to discover. A trace also means a small amount, something that is barely detectable. What we share from this pulpit, whether I'm preaching or Paul's preaching or one of our other pastors or a guest pastor, is never centered on our own ideas and suggestions. We are holding up to you and the people who are watching online, whether this day or another day, the very word of God, which is a lamp. It illuminates the one who is the very light of the world, Jesus Christ. Tracing is important. In the summer, we did a series, whether you were here or not, it was on Psalm 119. And there was a woman in our church so moved by that series, especially the call on our body to memorize scripture, that she made a decision to purchase 500 Navigators topical memory systems. That's the very system I used to learn scripture right after I became a Christian. Memorizing scripture is essentially tracing it. It's just simply hiding it in your heart. Psalm 119, 9 and 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I have hidden it in my heart that I might not sin against you. So some of you may be wanting to begin to memorize scripture and aren't sure how. This is a wonderful way. So next Sunday, there are going to be 500 topical memory systems here in the hall and out in the grand hall. And if you want one to start memorizing scripture, it's yours for free. And if all of those are taken, she's pledged to buy 500 more. She wants so much for the body of Christ to be tracing the word. Maybe you'll grab more than one because you want to do it with someone. Don't be shy. Take them and use them. That's what we're doing. We're tracing the word of God. We're tracing the light. And as we trace it, as we copy it, as we investigate it, as we seek to see the presence of Christ through his word and spirit, we're transformed. So take advantage of that. Today we come to this very interesting passage, which includes a theophany. A theophany is a visible representation, a physical representation of God. We see it in the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of fire. But what I want to do is give us a statement that will lead us through it. And this is the statement. For everyone who is in Christ Jesus, meaning you are a Christian, you've rested in Jesus, you've received Jesus. You could say yes to the same vows that these members took. You're in Christ. This is true for you. What I'm about to tell you is remarkable and absolutely true. But I'm also telling you the truth that if you're not in Christ, all that you're about to hear is not yet yours. Just knowing about Jesus, just attending a church, or maybe having attended a church in your past, isn't enough. We have to surrender to him. So here's the statement. God is faithfully leading us. But God is faithfully leading us always according to his path. He's leading us according to his path with his very presence to accomplish his purposes. I want to use that sentence. I'm going to say it one more time to walk through this passage. God is faithfully leading us according to his path with his very presence and to accomplish his purposes. So let's begin by looking back at Exodus 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, I want to pause here for a moment. When Pharaoh let the people go, the people of God, the people of Israel, have been enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years. That means that none of them ever knew freedom. The ones who were enslaved grew up with the reality of this slavery. And so moving into something new, to be free, is not anything that they were acquainted with. And as time went on, it grew progressively worse for them. Now they have been set free. If you only read that verse, though, when Pharaoh let the people go, you would tend to think that Pharaoh was in charge. And that for some reason, at this point, he decided to let the people go. But what you haven't seen in chapter 13, through the first 16 verses, is at least four times God has declared that they were set free by his strong hand. Verse 16 says it this way, "It shall be as a mark on your hand or frontlets between your eyes, for by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt." By a strong hand, the strong hand. In other words, God is in control. The wilderness that they're about to go into, God is going to be in control. The wilderness that you are living in today, God is in control. He's leading you. But I want you to see that God, who is in control, also ordains the means as well as the end. So Pharaoh was used by God truly to let the people go. Pharaoh finally conceded, and the people were enabled to leave. But it's all because of the mighty hand of God. So let's look at how God does this. God is faithfully leading his people. He's faithfully leading us according to his path. Look with me at the second part of verse 17. God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Here's what that means. The people of Israel had been set free. They had heard the promise for centuries that God would be the provider of a place, of a land flowing with milk and honey. How are they going to get there? How long is it going to take? None of those questions were really answered. But now they're free, and now they're moving. And what they're soon going to discover is that God, who set them free by his strong hand, is in absolute control. That means he understands and knows the terrain. He knows the timing. And if the people of Israel had organized, and it was God's will for them to take the shortest path, they would have arrived in the land of Canaan in less than 2 weeks. But that's not how long it took. God's plan, which is perfect, was going to send them in the wilderness for 40 years. Not 40 days and nights, 40 years. It's easy to understand why they would grumble. It's easy to understand why they would question Moses. Do you know what you're doing? Do you know where we're going? Doesn't it feel like that when you're in the midst of a wilderness? And if you won't admit it, then that is your own wilderness. You and I, this side of heaven, are constantly in the middle of these places where we don't fully understand what God's doing. We're afraid of what we see, what we think we see, what we don't see. And in those moments, God gives us everything we need. Everything we need. Not just some of what we need. He gives us everything we need, no matter how difficult that the wilderness is. And it can be excruciating. It can be so difficult. The people are being led by God. He's faithfully leading them according to his path. So what we have to do is meditate upon the person of God and understand that he knows. Look at the passage again. He did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines. Well, the Lord knew that the Philistines had a mighty army. It wasn't as mighty as Egypt. But they would enter into that and certainly be attacked. And even if they were somehow able to defeat the Philistines, they would then arrive at Canaan with another mighty army ready to destroy. And we know how they responded to that when they eventually went in. The 12 spies, 10 saying, we can't defeat them, 2 being faithful. The Lord knows what he's doing. He always knows what he's doing. His path is not the shortest. His path is not the clearest. His path is not the easiest. But it's always the best. And sometimes when it's centered on a bitter providence, it's hard to believe that. I want to point out a verse that's very interesting. It says in verse 18, but God led the people around by the way of the wilderness. That is a great phrase describing this side of heaven. We are all moving in the way of the wilderness. Advent is the desire in the now for the not yet. The wilderness you're in, it's okay to say, this isn't where I want to be. I don't want to be walking through this disease that is ravaging my wife's life. I don't know how to shepherd this child that is rebellious or this child who is sick. I don't know how to navigate my employment. I don't understand what's happening where I work. It's not certain. I'm growing discontent in my singleness. Lord, what is your plan? Will I marry or will I not? And Father, why? Why did you take them away at such a young age? These are real wildernesses that we experience because of the broken world that we're in. And I'm promising you this, that God is faithfully leading you and will faithfully lead you, but it's according to his path. Verse 18 says, God led the people around by way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. I don't say this very often, but that's not a very good translation of what the original language means. Because as we read that they're equipped for battle, it makes it sound like the Israelites had been training and they had ammunition and weapons ready for war, and it wasn't true. They hadn't been training in secret. The word tells us in the original that they were in military formation. They simply were moving like a military, but they weren't prepared to fight anyone. But here's the most amazing part. They really would never be. But the one who is leading them is the one who's going to destroy the mightiest army at that time that it existed. And it was the Egyptians. And he's simply going to do it as Moses raises the staff and the Red Sea parts. And then those waters engulf the Egyptian army. So when we're abiding in Christ, though we may feel very unequipped, he is giving us everything we need every time. God is faithful. He's leading us, but he's leading us according to his plan. Sometimes, friends, that's very difficult to surrender to. I know that. Not just as a theologian, not just as a pastor, but as a person. I go through things that causes my heart to break, and I don't know why. And I certainly know that it could be easier, and it could be quicker, but it's not. And then good friends remind me, as they shine the light of God's word into my life, he knows what he's doing. Mark, he's giving you daily bread. And then they anticipate what I'm about to say next. I don't like daily bread. I want tomorrow's bread. It sounds just like what the people of Israel are going to say. He's faithfully leading you, dear friend, if you're in Christ. I promise you. But it's according to his path. But he's also leading you with his very presence. Let's move to the end of the section we read. Go to verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. This is a theophany. It is a visible manifestation, a physical manifestation of something they actually saw. It's not a metaphor. It was real. God gives us these kind of symbols, these pictures that remind us of his faithfulness. In fact, there's another interesting one. Let's go back actually to verse 19. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. That would be one of those verses where you're reading the Bible so fast that you just don't stop and pay attention to. It might just seem a little bit weird. You know, they're going to take his bones and they're going to take them with them into the promised land. That's where he will be put into a tomb. But it's a big deal. The book of Genesis, chapter 50, the last verses of Genesis, listen to what is said. Joseph is speaking. Verse 24, just look it up later, 50:24. Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die. And Joseph was 110 years old. But God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. These are Joseph's last words. And what he's saying as he's about to die is God is going to keep his promise. That's what I'm telling you right now. He's going to keep his promise. He's going to lead you. He's going to be with you. He's never going to forsake you. He's going to keep his promise. Verse 25, then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So that coffin with the embalmed remains of Joseph is being carried. And that's significant. How significant? In the Hall of Faith, that's the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, listen to this verse, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. It is a big deal. Those who could see or who had heard that the coffin is with them, they understood that their leader was saying, I am fully expectant that God is going to be faithful to the promise he made. I am so expectant of that that in my last words, what I'm telling you is he will show up, he will lead you, and you will see that he's telling the truth. Take me with you. And that's powerful. What an image. But it's not the most powerful thing. The most powerful thing is that God himself has declared, I will be a pillar of cloud, and I will be a pillar of fire. During the day, this cloud will protect and shield. And at night, when it's dark, there will be a light. He is the fire. He is the cloud. And no matter what you see of that and how you can try to imagine it, it was real for them. It wasn't just a wishful thought or even a prayer. It was the very presence of God. And what I want you to see most clearly is that it says, it's how the Lord led them. It wasn't just over them and around them. It's how he led them. When you're in the wilderness and you're afraid of what you can't see, what you think you see, what you do see, and you feel often very lonely, it's tempting to think, well, if God would only show me a pillar of a cloud, a pillar of fire, then I would have greater faith. I want to give you amazing news. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have something, someone far better. You have the very presence of God in the Holy Spirit living inside you. He's more present inside you than cancer cells. He's more present inside you than a broken heart. He's more present inside you than the shattered dreams that are making up your wilderness. There's no power if what I'm saying is just a cliche or a cleverly written card to send somebody when they're in the wilderness. It's the promise. Read through the Gospel of John. We'll eventually get there as we move back into that. And you'll see the powerful promise of the Spirit in his presence who gives us wisdom. God is leading you. If you're in him, he's leading you according to his path, but with his very presence to accomplish his purposes. To understand this, I want to talk about Jesus. If you're familiar at all with the life of Christ, you know that there was a point in his life when his ministry was about to begin, that he was led into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, tempted by Satan, fasting. That was a wilderness Jesus was in. But Jesus' entire incarnation was a wilderness. That's why I love the song from The Squalor of a Borrowed Stable that tells the story. Jesus was born into this world that he himself made. He experienced the sorrows and the joys that you experienced. He walked your path. He has walked your wilderness. Jesus Christ didn't just spend 40 days in the wilderness. In fact, probably the most difficult part of the wilderness for Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, where on that night he experienced the broken relationships as he was betrayed, would be betrayed. He experienced the humanity of his disciples who couldn't stay awake and care for him. But ultimately, he was praying to the one whose presence he had always known fully, his Father. And knowing something of the cup that he was about to drink, knowing fully that this is why the Lord was born, Jesus prays to his Father, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." And then he prayed the greatest prayer of faith that can ever be prayed. You can pray it too. You must pray it. "Not my will be done, but your will be done." And the Word of God tells us as we trace the light, as we trace grace, that it was the will of the Father to crush the Son. "Thy will be done." And it was. On the cross, as Jesus was hung, already beaten beyond recognition, he cried out seven statements, one of which was, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The very last verse I read today in Exodus 13, verse 22 says this, "The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people." If you are in Christ Jesus, the living God, our Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will never forsake you. Jesus Christ experienced what it meant to be forsaken, that you and I could live in him and never be forsaken. Not a trace of being forsaken, not a trace of being forgotten, not a trace of being neglected, not a trace of being left to our own, to persevere through a very difficult wilderness. God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, friend, if you're in Christ, is leading you. He's leading you according to his path, by his very presence inside you, illuminating the word of God, which he's doing even now, in order to accomplish his purposes. Paul gives us this very familiar verse, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. In the wilderness, we're going to ask really hard questions, many of which will not be answered. But what will be answered is the faithful presence of God, who is telling you, "I'm with you. I'm leading you. I will never forsake you." Father, I pray this morning that as we've opened your word, that if there are any here who don't know the privilege of these promises, that even now you would draw them to yourself, that they would see and hear your voice through your word and spirit, would confess their sins and surrender their life to you. Friend, if that's you and you want to know that you know Christ and that you have the blessing of these promises, pray to him now. Simply, "Jesus, save me, rescue me, forgive me." He alone can do that work. And tell somebody that you came with, or tell one of our pastors. Father, for those who know they know you, we praise you for saving us. But we are not immune to the wildernesses. This side of heaven, we're going to go in and out of them. And it's easy to forget that in each one, your purposes exist. So, Father, no matter how painful, no matter how frightening, no matter how lonely, how discouraging, God, would you in this season shine great light there for your glory and our good? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.